Welcome, everyone, to the Hour of the Time. I'm Carolyn Nelson, and this is Ladies' Evening. We are going to spend a little time together with the women out there and have just information sharing tonight. We have a little more serious information that we want to get across to you, and we would like to hear from you, however, during the hour after the show. If you would call us on phone number 602-337-2562 after the show, that's between 10 and 11 Mountain Time, we will be here to take your call. I'm going to play again for you so that you can listen to the words of what we just heard. And I hope you have already your pencil and your pen, because when Doreen joins us, you're going to need it. Listen carefully now. The words are "light out of the hour." It is the hour of the time. Light out for the curfew of your body, soul, and mind. You've all heard that, and I'm going to repeat it because many people have called in asking about the words. Light out of the hour. It is the hour of the time. Light out for the curfew of your body, soul, and mind. Now tonight, Doreen is with us, and she has some very serious articles to share with us. I hope you have your pen and pencil, and all of you listen carefully. Welcome, Doreen.
Hi. Last week I was with you all talking about
homeschooling. Tonight I'm going to talk about why homeschool. A lot of people want to know that answer. They want to know, why aren't you taking your children out of public school? Well, tonight we're going to discuss it. I'm going to give you some articles. The first one I'm reading is out of the Teaching Home magazine, April, May, 91, and it's page 74.
A New Age in the Public School. Homeschoolers have recognized and avoided the dangers of allowing children to be indoctrinated with the evolutionary theory and humanism. The New Age religion has entered our schools, exposing America's youth to dangers such as transcendental meditation, centering, and the channeling of spirit entities. The public school system has largely abandoned instruction in traditional subject matter for the more admirable objective of shaping the values and beliefs of its students. To this end, public school administrators have introduced such innovative subjects designed for behavior modification as family life, death and dying, and self-esteem. Humanists desiring to reform society long ago recognized our youth as the key to its transformation. The public school classroom proved to be the perfect forum for the indoctrination of our youth. Where else could these reformers have had the undivided attention of more than 40 million vulnerable youngsters for several hours every day? C.F. Potter, author of Humanism, A New Religion, actually, it's an old religion, he said, "Education is a most powerful ally of humanism, and every American public school is a school of humanism. What can the theistic Sunday schools, meeting for an hour once a day and teaching only a fraction of the children, do to stem the tide of a five-day program of humanistic teaching? Today there is a war on Christian values. The New Age movement is moving forward. In fact, in Marilyn Ferguson's The Aquarian Conspiracy, often referred to as the New Age Manifesto, she proudly states that of the Aquarian conspirators surveyed, were involved in education than in any other single category of work. They were teachers, administrators, policymakers, and educational psychologists. She continues, subtle forces are at work, factors you are not likely to see in banner headlines. Tens of thousands of classroom teachers, educational consultants, and psychologists, counselors, administrators, researchers, and faculty members in colleges of education have been among the millions engaged in personal transformation. Gay Hendricks, author of The Centered Teacher, writes, quote, "A quiet, compassionate revolution is underway in education. It is a grassroots revolution led by teachers who have a deep commitment to their own evolution and to the evolution of students and society. This movement views teaching as an opportunity for teachers to expand their consciousness while assisting students in expanding theirs. The personal transformation envisioned by Ferguson and her cohorts occurs when an individual recognizes the impersonal, quote, God force or Christ consciousness within themselves, a force that supposedly inhabits everything and unites the individual with his universe. Honest New Age educators will admit that they believe their role is to help the children in their application of this newfound divinity. Wallene James, in the Handbook for Educating in the New Age, states, quote, "For too long, schools have been containers, holding places for keeping the young off the street and out of the labor market. In the New Age, they shall, I hope, be temples where human beings are nurtured into the recognition and application of their divinity." New Agers are now free to introduce virtually every aspect of their religion without challenge. Children are meditating in the classroom, participating in guided imagery and visualization exercises designed to help them tap into their inner divinity, playing with Ouija boards and Dungeons and Dragons, exercising ESP and psychic powers, learning to cast spells, and meeting their spirit guides. Some curricula so closely mirror the how-to books of the New Age that it's hard to tell them apart. When Bob Simmons of the Citizens for Excellence in Education placed parts of a Los Angeles public school curriculum entitled Mission SOAR, S-O-A-R, which means set objective, achieve results. When he set this curriculum side by side with the corresponding instructions of the occult text Beyond Hypnosis, the similarities were shocking. For instance, Beyond Hypnosis states, "In this session, you will enter your Theta region, create your personal psychic workshop. You will always go to your psychic workshop for all your psychic work." Another similar exercise states, "In this session, you will experience communication with a deceased person. Deceased persons can be a source of valuable information for you." SOAR combines these exercises. And again, this is a Los Angeles school curriculum that states, this lesson introduces school children to their psychic workshop and two spirit guides who will help them make decisions. Teacher says, how would you like a special or custom-built house to go to any time you want to, with anything you want in it? You could have any person you want come and visit you. It wouldn't matter if he or she was dead or alive, real or imaginary. After today, you will always have this special place and special way of being with anyone you want. Be sure to use them. The occult manual instructs the students to, quote, press your control button to open the door into your workshop. Now mentally say, I welcome my male advisor into my workshop. Please enter and sit in your chair. Greet your male advisor. Ask his name. Study his appearance. Thank him for coming. Talk with him now for a few minutes. End quote. Likewise, the SOAR curriculum states, quote, first, you will see your male helper. He is behind the sliding door in your elevator. Use the control panel on the arm of your chair to make the door of your elevator open. Now look at your male helper. He is now real and alive, and he comes into your workshop. This is your male helper. Say hello and ask him his name. Show him around your workshop and tell him how glad you are that he is there with you. Ask him either to sit or stand near you on your right side. Educators cannot pass these exercises off as mere fantasy. The author of the occult text is obviously serious about channeling spirit entities, and no curriculum that virtually mimics his instructions can be dismissed as pretend. Do you know what your kids are learning in school? Are you aware? Another curricula purportedly designed to enhance the self-esteem of students includes 42 guided imagery exercises. This program, developing an understanding of self and others, is called Do So. It takes children to the underwater world of Aquatron, where Do So the dolphin and Sophie the sea otter help them work through their problems. During these guided fantasies, children are instructed to lie on the floor, on their back, or sit at tables with enough room to put their heads down. The teacher then plays a tape which leads students through a series of relaxation exercises. These exercises are identical to those used by occultists in preparation for meditation. Relaxation training is important for both everyday functioning and as a beginning step to more advanced training in meditation and centering. Did you get that? This is said by Thomas B. Roberts and Francis V. Clark, and they explain, relaxation training is important for both everyday functioning and as a beginning step to more advanced training in meditation and centering. In the first fantasy, Sophie explains that she will take the students to a secret place called Aquatron. According to her, what makes Aquatron so secret is that it's inside ourselves. With that brief explanation, the tape is played and the children journey to this mysterious place within. Subsequent tapes have children relive unpleasant situations in their lives and face serious challenges with the help of their new imaginary guides. Do So and Sophie always exercise great wisdom in the face of conflict. Only the authors of this program know whether they deliberately intended to introduce the technique of meditation through the use of these exercises and whether they intended for Do So and Sophie to represent spiritual entities or manifestations of the children's higher selves. that regardless of the author's intentions or motives, guided fantasies like this one found in this program are typically employed by occultists to introduce children to the concept of searching for inner wisdom, and many claim to seek their guidance from spirit entities. Often, those take the form of animals. There's another example, a curriculum with explicit ties to the occult, and it is the reading series called Impressions. It's published by Holt, Reinhardt, and Winston of Canada, and marketed by its parent company, Harcourt Brace Jovanovich of Orlando, Florida. This series, written for the first through the sixth grade, is designed for use in language arts classes. It is now in over 1,200 schools in 34 states, inspiring intense controversy everywhere it appears. Currently, there are four versions of the series marketed in the United States. While not all of the material in each version is harmful, portions of this series are responsible for thousands of children writing and chanting magic spells, encountering creatures who lust for the flesh of children. This is first through sixth graders. Do you know what your children are learning in public school? And also, reading anthologies which speak of violent ritual practice. According to a citizen in the focus of the Family Citizen, Thomas C. Jensen, an investigator of occult crimes, says that Impressions contain symbols and rituals used in Wicca, that's witchcraft folks, Satanism, and Santeria, which is a blend of the Aruba religion and Catholicism. Here's a few examples of Impressions. One exercise for fourth graders in the U.S.-Canadian version of this series teaches them three spells. According to the text, one of the spells renders the caster's body invisible to any reasonably intelligent creature. It may be used to give considerable advantage in battle or to escape from a dangerous situation. One anthology found in a third grade teacher's manual contains the story of Zini and the witches. Third grade. It reads, Zini lifted a curtain to look in. There were bodies and bones and all sorts of horrors. So Zini then knew his wife was a witch. When the chief witch found Zini, he said, you deserve to die for this, but I will spare your life on one condition. Bring me the hearts of your mother and your sister, and you shall live. Not only shall you live, but you shall become one of us. He's Behind Zur is another composition included in the fifth grade. This is from the reader entitled Thread the Needle. It reads, He's Behind Zur, chorused the children, but the warning came too late. The monster leaped toward. Now the rest of this is too graphic, but it describes dismemberment of the person by the monster and is followed by, more, more, cried the children. Fifth grade. I don't think I'd want my children getting into that. A poem by Jack Prilutsky entitled The Sorceress reads, quote, in flowing dress, the sorceress begins her evil toil. She stirs her vat of filth and fat and sees its place and boil. Midst hellish smells, she whispers spells and thus a deadly dance. With words of death upon her breath, she slips into a trance. Higher, higher burns her fire, distant is her voice, and Hades whole takes one more soul, as demons there rejoice. These are just a sample of some of the stories and poems that children are exposed to in this curriculum. Now, we ran across this one ourselves in our own school. A friend of mine in California had been warning me, watch out for impressions. The New Age culture is really sweeping the country, and they were having a hard time with it in California. She told me what to look out for. Well, it was one of the very last straws that made us think seriously about homeschooling. Our son brought home a paper, and it was called The Selfish Giant. Now, religion is not something that's supposed to be discussed in school, but the children were instructed in enrichment literature class to correlate the story and the symbolism in the story with the Bible. Well, the story had nothing at all to do with the Bible, and it was designed to subvert any kind of religious teaching done at home and to make our God look like a selfish and petty tyrant. Nathan took an F on that assignment. We used it for kindling in our fireplace. I hope you guys will do the same when you run across this. Regardless of whether you decide to homeschool or not, if you're going to leave your kids in public school, you had better know what they're learning. You better pay close attention to the material that's coming into their minds and into your home. Undoubtedly, this detrimental curricula in the public schools are manifestations of a war being waged in this nation for the heart and minds of our youth. Adolf Hitler once said, "Let me control the textbooks and I will control Germany." History demonstrates the accuracy of this statement. If you would like more information, get this book, people. Get your pen and paper ready. Child Abuse in the Classroom by Phyllis Schlafly. $6 postpaid, Eagle Forum, Box 618, Alton, ALTON, Illinois, 62002. Now I'm going to read you some more information for those of you that wonder why homeschool. Why bother? Well, your children's education is in somebody's hands. Is it in your hands or somebody else's? And Child Abuse in the Classroom, Phyllis Schlafly says that this book is a collection of testimonies given before the U.S. Department of Education on the matter of proposed regulations to implement the Protection of Pupil Rights Amendment. Some of the fun activities parents and teachers reported seeing in sex ed classes. This is a testimony of Reverend Ronald Watson from page 85. Now, I hate to even read this, people. It's going to make me blush. But here we go, anyways. You need to know what's going on. Reverend Ronald Watson wrote, "In my son's fifth grade health class, all questions were answered without regard to a moral right and wrong. Homosexuality was presented as an alternative lifestyle. Sexual activity among fifth graders was not discouraged. I was present when a plastic model of female genitalia with a tampon insert was passed around to the boys and girls so that they might understand how tampons fit. In fifth grade, Birth control pills were also passed around and explained. Get this. Anal intercourse was described. Anal intercourse in fifth grade? At no time was there any mention of abstinence as a desirable as alternative for fifth graders. Do you believe this? From a suggested assignment for junior and senior high school students throughout the state of Michigan. They were told, the teachers told the students, first, ask the students to relax, feel comfortable, and close their eyes. Then ask them to fantasize and design a form of birth control that they would enjoy using. Next, ask students to share their designs out loud, noting differences and good ideas. The various designs may elicit much laughter. I don't know about you guys, but I can't believe this. But I've seen it, I've heard about it, I've read about it, I've heard some of you tell me some shocking things that are going on in your school. Do you know what your children are being taught? This is something I need to share with you guys. Unknown to most Americans, the United States has agreed to let the Soviets work with them in the development of curriculum and teaching materials for elementary and secondary school children. Now, the articles I'm reading is from the book called School Proof, How to Help Your Family Beat the System and Learn to Love Learning the Easy, Natural Way. It's written by Mary Pride, and it's a very good book. Again, unknown to most Americans, the United States has agreed to let the Soviets work with them in the development of curricula and teaching materials for elementary and secondary school children. The purpose of this agreement is to restructure the education of American children. Chapter 1 of this ongoing saga took place in Moscow on October 24th through the 29th, 1985, when the Carnegie Corporation, that's right, you heard me say, the Carnegie Corporation, with the prior approval of the U.S. Department of State and National Security Advisors, entered into negotiations to work with the Soviets in the development of curricula and teaching materials for elementary and secondary school children. Impossible, you say? Far-fetched? No, that's exactly what happened. Discussions resulted in an agreement 2 weeks later that was signed by the Carnegie Corporation with the Soviet Institute of Informatics.
Doreen, I think we'll take a break now and catch our breath.
Sounds good.
We talked last week about the flag and whether the United States flag or the UN flag was being flown, and now you're presenting us with some more very serious subjects to consider.
Indivisible,
We'd like the ladies to call us after the show for about an hour and share with us their responses and other information. Doreen mentioned to watch out. You'll recognize this. You'd better watch out. You'd better not cry. You'd better not pout. I'm telling you why. Someone and something is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. He's going to be sure who's naughty or nice. Someone is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. You'd better watch out. And you'd better watch out for your families. Swiss America Trading is there to help you to watch out. And I want you to call Gene Miller and ask him for the free newsletter and any other information that can help you as you work with all of us to take our country back. I'm not going to ask you to call Gene Miller tonight, actually, because I know most of you already have. I am going to ask you something else. I want you to ask three of your closest friends, your very dearest and closest friends, and they are probably the ones that are helping you to watch your children also. Ask them to call Gene Miller at 1-800-BUY-COIN and ask them to ask for the newsletter and for other information which can help them to watch out. Call, ask them to call Gene Miller at 1-800-BUY-COIN. Do it, even tonight, as you wait to get through to us after the program. I want you to take a little trip with me to Fantasyland. Doreen has been taking us on a pretty good trip, I'd say. And I'm going to take you on another one. Pretend that you and your family have come here from, say, the South Pacific. Nobody's told you much about the area. Say you've come here to St. John's at 6,000 elevation, and you're just wearing a blouse and shirt and slacks, and maybe thongs, or maybe a sarong and thongs. And you're living here in September after the August heat. You're remembering South Pacific areas, but the breeze of September begins to soothe the summer heat. You're still just carrying out your normal life. October, the chill sets in. November, the cold sets in. In December, there's a blanket, but it's not a blanket to warm you. It's a blanket of white snow. And winter winds with their ice begin.
And you coming from the South Pacific don't know that April thaw is just around the corner, a few months away. And what would you be doing? Would you be preparing? Yes, I'm referring a little bit to Swiss America Trading. I can't help but do that, you know. What would these people do? Would they study? What should they have done? Should they have studied the area before they came? Should they have asked others what's going on and what they should do since they're new in the area or they have no understanding of what's going on? Should they then do things for themselves or accept help? Or maybe join the New World Order style of living where you let other people take care of you? Remember that you have to plan ahead. If these people had planned ahead, they would have been warmer when the winter came. What are you doing to prepare when the hard times really hit us? We're living in them now, but many of you don't see them, just as they didn't notice the September breeze that was just a little less warm than the August heat. But then all of a sudden, the winter and the ice was upon them. And soon, you are going to be faced with something that you may not be able to control. Call Gene Miller at 1-800-BUY-COIN. Ask him to send you the newsletter and to talk with you. You can call right after the program. I'm asking you again, but I want you to ask three of your dearest friends to call Gene Miller, 1-800-BUY-COIN. I hope you have your pen and pencil still ready. The number to call us after the program is 602-337-2562. Now, Doreen is going to resume talking with us, but I think we'll break for just a minute, Doreen, and talk to people about the newspaper that Bill Cooper announced last night.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I didn't have your knob up. Go ahead, Doreen.
That would be wonderful. Carolyn has some very exciting information for all of our listeners.
Well, Doreen and I were talking just before the program, and we all know that Bill Cooper and Annie and Pooh are down in Phoenix visiting and working. But he did announce last night that we're going to begin a bi-monthly, I believe, newspaper. And Doreen and I are talking about a page that we all, you out there, you ladies, mothers, and us, that we will share developing that will include things about children, homeschooling, anything that you write in to share. What do you think, Doreen?
I think that'd be a great idea. We'd like to hear from all of you ladies out there, and you gentlemen and children also, any kinds of tips that you have, any kinds of questions that you have or comments. We'd like to hear from you.
We were thinking that we'd tuck in probably a bibliography instead of giving it out over the air and asking you to write it down. We'll include that in our portion of the newspaper. Were we talking about anything else, Doreen?
Oh, I drew a blank. There's several good books for you to look up and read. Take some time and go to the library with your kids. Some of these, though, good luck on finding them at the library. You'd have a better chance finding them at the Cadgy Library here in St. John's. We will have all kinds of exciting, interesting, eye-opening information for you. You just won't believe your eyes when you see some of this information.
And I think Doreen is leading to the August 1 through 5 convention that William Cooper announced a few weeks ago that will be here in St. John's. We'll be looking for you here. The address for you to send your letters to is Post Office Box 1420, Sholo, Arizona, 85901. And that's CAGI, Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence. If you're new, please don't be shy. We must move forward to win this war, and we need your help. This address will be repeated at the end of the program. Doreen, you may be ready now to go on back to sharing this serious information with us.
Okay. I did want to finish this article from School Proof by Mary Pride. Now, this article right here is from the book, Will We Let the Soviets Teach Our School Children? And it is written by Phyllis Schlafly. You can send $5 to get a copy of this report. The report was issued September 1987. Send $5 to the Phyllis Schlafly Report, Box 618, Alton, Alton, Illinois, 62002. And I'll back up here a little bit and finish reading this. Discussions resulted in an agreement 2 weeks later that was signed by the Carnegie Corporation with the Soviet Institute of Informatics. The agreement calls for the Soviets and the Americans jointly to develop and test computer software for use in U.S. elementary schools and to restructure the curriculum and teaching methods of our early elementary grades through the use of computers. Chapter 2 of the saga took place at the Geneva Conference in November 21, 1985. When Secretary of State George Shultz signed a 41-page general agreement with the Soviet government covering a broad range of exchanges and cooperative projects in the education, scientific, and cultural fields. The Washington Post of November 26, 1985, quoted the agreement as calling for, quote, cooperation in the development of educational exchanges and software for elementary and secondary school instruction. But would they use the software to control our kids, you might ask? You better believe they would. Following up on this modest proposal, the Carnegie Corporation has been working on plans to, one, test all students nationally to determine their values and beliefs and family background, and two, design a one-size-fits-all computer curriculum for all states of the Union. Plans are also in the works for standardized nationwide teacher certification. All of this is directed towards the implicitly stated goal of changing children's goals and attitudes and merging into the new world order. You've heard it here before, people, many, many times. You wonder why we homeschool our kids. I want to give you an article out of USA Today. This is from Friday, May 13, 1994. Truant's mom to jail. Ava Wilkinson, 43, of Huntington, West Virginia, was sentenced to 100 days in jail because her 8-year-old daughter, Alicia, had 59 unexcused absences from school. 59 unexcused absences from school. Her mother gets 100 days in jail. Sometimes they tell me they're sick, and just like a mother, I can't make them go, Wilkinson said. The state also took custody of her 14-year-old daughter, Catherine, because she, too, had missed too much school. Parents, no matter if you're homeschooling, if your children are in public school, you need to know the laws. You need to know your rights. The first step for homeschooling is to call the Homeschooling Legal Defense Association. They will send you a free information pack with your state law on compulsory attendance. They'll send you information on support groups in your area and a lot more. Call Homeschool Legal Defense Association at 703-338-5600 and ask them for this free information. 703-338-5600. I'd also advise you all, if you can, to get a copy of the Teaching Home magazine. They have all kinds of good information, legal news, teaching tips, organizations, conventions, everything that you would even have a question on. And they're there to help you also. Call the Teaching Home magazine, 503-253-9633. 503-253-9633. And remember, all you have to do to get started is to be resolute in your decision. There is no one right way. You know, homeschooling is flexible. How you do it is up to you. There are requirements that have to be followed. They do need their basics, reading, writing, arithmetic, social studies, history. So you have to make sure that you know your state's requirements. First off, number one, get your state law on compulsory attendance. Step two, file an affidavit of intent with your county supervisor. And step three, get a school release form and start. You'll never know how much of a blessing it is to homeschool your children until you do it. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to be off the air, and we'll have the ladies calling in, anybody that has questions. And I'm going to go through a few things right here in Arizona, anyways. Arizona Families for Home Education. Write them. P.O. Box 4661, Scottsdale, Arizona. 852-61-4661. Or call them at 602-941-3938. 602-941-3938. Up here in the northern area, you can call the Northern Arizona Home Educators. Sorry, I don't have their phone number. You can write them. P.O. Box 30082. 30082. Flagstaff, Arizona. Zip code 86003-0082. They will be happy to help you with any questions that you have. And like I said, the first step is to get in touch with the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. They'll send you the information pack that will have all kinds of answers to your questions. Deuteronomy says, "These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall walk, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." Deuteronomy 6:5-7. Parents, we're compelled to teach our children the right way. Well, there's a lot of information out there. And even with the Christian curriculum, you have to decide whether or not that's what you want to use. But some of it you might not agree with completely. Well, then it opens up room for discussion with your children. Everybody believes differently. You have to talk to your children about how you believe. That's the main thing. And always, no matter what it is, read everything, listen to everything, believe nothing till you check it out for yourself, till you see it and you know it for yourself. Now, I got some real good books at a used thrift store for 25 cents each, and I'm tickled pink because they're along the lines that I want to teach my child. They have some very good literature in them, Hemingway, Steinbeck, Thoreau, a lot of really good writers have compiled the English book that I'm using in literature. And I also picked up some math books, all kinds of things. I didn't spend hundreds of dollars. You don't have to either. Be flexible. There's a lot of curriculum out there. All you have to do is see what fits into your way of thinking, what fits into your budget, and you'll be satisfied. Well, any more comments, Carolyn?
Well, Doreen, I'm a little bit stunned by all the great information you've shared. We need to get this information out. I think I could add right here that we might encourage the women and the men to pick up the book that Gorbachev has written and maybe call the Gorbachev Foundation, call information in San Francisco and see for yourself that the Gorbachev Foundation is in San Francisco. It is active. Ask them for a brochure and they'll send it to you and you'll prove it for yourself. I know the congressman in New Hampshire didn't believe that they were even in existence.
That's interesting. There's a lot of information out there. Next week we're going to be talking about the outdoor schoolroom, trips into nature. Some of you daddies out there ought to enjoy that. School doesn't stop with a 2 to 4 hour day. School is all the time you're with your children. Teaching them about life, teaching them morals, teaching them about their country and what their country was founded on. Next week we're going to talk a little bit about archery, shooting, gun safety,
umbrellas.
Umbrellas, too, yes.
I talked about umbrellas last Friday, and you promised to talk about umbrellas next Friday, okay?
Yes.
Also, can I ask the people out there at this point to check your World Almanac for instructions about flying the United States of America flag. They've got it all written down in there, and it'll be easy for you to find. It's a good book to own. Sometimes you can get a secondhand one. For the years, say, 1993 or 1992, and a lot of the information is pretty pertinent if you can't afford the $7 or $8 quite yet for the 1994 issue. Doreen, we have a couple more minutes before we start the music, and even you will be surprised when you hear the music.
Okay. Again, I want to recommend to all of you, for those that have junior and high school level students, get a copy of Behold a Pale Horse by William Cooper. It's very interesting reading. We read it, our son reads it, he reads it to us sometimes when we're working. But we work at home because we have a home business, but our schedule is still very tight, especially right now we're doing some building down at the folks' place.
Doreen, can we add here that we are planning to open up at least a 15-minute area on our ladies' hour of the time for your young children to call in, get used to calling in and talking to us, asking questions and letting their message go out over the airways. We'll probably have an hour for them after a program, maybe after next Friday night if you work with your children and they have any questions, they could call us for an hour after next Friday night. How would that be, Doreen?
That would be great.
Give it a start. And yes, we'll let your son call us after the program first.
Oh, if he's not too shy, we'll work on him.
Okay.
Remember, people, we are at war. It is a silent war that has been waged upon us. Our Constitution is no longer really in action, but the public don't realize it. We are under the UN treaty. You need to get a copy of your constitution and the constitution of your state. Know your laws, know your rights.
Ask three of your close friends, maybe even your militia members, to call Gene Miller at 1-800 by coin. I'd like you to write down these words, and as Doreen said, and as I said earlier, watch out. The words are, lights out of the hour. It is the hour of the time. Lights out for the curfew of your body, soul, and mind. Good night, Doreen. Good night, everyone. We'll see you next Friday.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you.